Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. In just over a week, two people have been killed by their family dogs in New Mexico. 74-year-old Cliff Wright was mauled to death last week in Santa Fe by his son's dog. 15-month-old Jaslyn Mesa was mauled to death by her grandmother's dog in Las Cruces on Tuesday. Some local lawmakers have called for a ban on pit bulls, the type of dog that is alleged to have killed both of these individuals, while advocates argue dogs are a product of their owner's treatment and that breed-specific legislation would not protect anyone. What do you think? Are pit bulls more dangerous than other breeds of dogs? And what can we do to prevent dog attacks like these? The number to call locally here in Albuquerque is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. We'll take your comments via email. That address is callinshow@kunm.org. You can also post your comments online at kunm.org. And we've got some folks lined up this morning. Starting off this morning, we have Nina Stively. She is Community Outreach Coordinator with the Espanola Valley Humane Society. She's also a volunteer with an organization called Babes and Bullies, which is an advocacy organization promoting what are called bully breed dogs, including pit bulls. She's also a certified animal welfare officer. Good morning, Nina. Thanks for joining.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We also have Melissa Roberts. She joins us. She is with New Mexico Pets Alive. She's the executive director of that nonprofit. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Thanks to you both for joining me. We're going to hear a little later in the hour from the National Canine Research Council, and we'll also hear from a representative of the Las Cruces Police Department. But starting off with you two, there is this perception that pit bulls are more dangerous than other breeds of dogs. There's several websites that I found that list, you know, top most dangerous breeds of dogs, and pit bull appears at the top of those lists. Nina, can you respond to this? Are pit bulls more dangerous than other dogs?
Yeah, I'm happy to respond. I think that what we're looking at is currently it's a trend in ownership that right now pit bulls happen to be a very popular breed or category of breeds of dog. In New Mexico, the Huffington Post cited that pit bull type dogs are the number two most popular dog, second only to Chihuahuas in the state of New Mexico. So they are very popular right now. And that's you know, in some ways it's great, in some ways it isn't, because a lot of their popularity is with responsible owners. But unfortunately, a good portion of that popularity is with folks who have chosen to take in these dogs as status symbols. And with a dog that's taken as a status symbol, it's not raised properly. It's not socialized. It's not exposed to the things that you would want a family pet exposed to. And any dog, regardless of breed, who is going to be left in the yard, not part of the family, not raised and maintained as to be a part of the family, that's where you're going to see your challenge. It's not a breed-specific issue. It's an issue of ownership.
Melissa, I'd like for you, can you talk a little bit about this status symbol? What do pit bulls symbolize?
Well, first of all, I'm going to agree with everything that Nina just stated, and I'd also like to add that the websites you're referring to that talk about pit bulls being the most dangerous breed, a lot of that sourcing doesn't come from credible references. A lot of that comes from media bias, and you see so much of that and people grabbing that and using that in some sort of faulty statistical way, and that just furthers a lot of misunderstanding and misconceptions. So the other question has to do with why they're popular.
Sure. And what Nina was saying, that some people get pit bulls to have as a status symbol. And so my question is, what in your experience do pit bulls symbolize?
What they symbolize? Well, I mean, I think for the majority of people, they're America's dogs. I mean, I think they were first recognized as an official breed in the 1930s. I think as people moved west, you know, the role of the dog became, you know, a working dog, a dog that is, you know, helping the family, a dog that is, you know, a very humane type of role for that dog. I'm not sure that there are any statistics that discuss people's the number of people who are acquiring pit bulls for status symbols, so I can't speak to that.
Okay.
But I do think that the majority of the people who own these dogs, which pit bull is not even a recognized breed, it's a slang term for four or five other types of terrier breeds and also all the mixes that come along with that. So I know it might sound like semantics, but sometimes it's really important, I think, to recognize that.
Nina, can you talk about the different purebred dog breeds that fall under this slang term pit bull that Melissa was explaining, and explain what these different breeds of dogs were bred for? What
Absolutely.
Were some of the intentional actions that people have taken over the years to choose characteristics for this particular breed?
Yes, for the most part, the term pit bull is it's a slang term, and it encompasses various breeds. If you are looking at pit bull in, say, the city of Denver, it's actually not a breed specific issue. It's an appearance. So the city of Denver defines a pit bull by a series of characteristics that would be short coat, a muscled body, a short muzzle, and a long tail. So if you think about that, that's really a lot of different dogs. That would include boxers, that would include bulldogs. There's a lot of different dogs that fall under that breed.
And yet we, members of the U.S. community, I mean, mm-hmm. we've seen pit bulls in media coverage, or at least dogs identified as pit bulls. So we all, I think most of us, have an idea in our heads of what a pit bull looks like.
Or what we think a pit bull looks like, I think is the bigger question. I mean, we see pit bulls on the news, teeth baring and foaming mouths with these horrible stories attached to them. And people often will say, this is what a pit bull looks like. They're not stopping and thinking the pit bull is also the dog walking alongside Caesar Milan. It's not the dog that was sitting with the kids and the Little Rascals. These are dogs that would, be considered pit bulls by your standards. However, we had some friends over to the house, and I'm fostering a Doberman puppy, and I have a pit bull myself. And the kids, our friends' kids were playing with the dogs, and they said, the kids are having so much fun. I said, oh, good, good. Well, now when you go home, you can tell all your friends that your son spent the afternoon with a pit bull and a Doberman. He said, oh my God, which one's the pit bull? And I said, see, they were expecting something to be, frothing at the mouth, but she was out there, she was playing fetch with the kids, and that really is how pit bulls are in most homes. The vast majority of families, you'll never hear a peep about their pit bull type dog, because these are family pets. They're not of trouble.
And yet these breeds of dogs that fall under the umbrella of pit bull have been mm-hmm. bred for certain characteristics. We hear about this idea of that dogs that won't let go when they're gripping, or dogs that will fight to the death, mm-hmm. or dogs that are so very, very loyal that they will, risk their lives in a violent situation or attack a bull that yes. is, whatever, 1,000 times their size or something. So talk a little bit about the characteristics of these
yes.
multiple breeds, and how they do or don't interact with the kind of context that they might experience in a household.
Yeah, the loyalty, I would say, is absolutely one of the characteristics that you'll see throughout all of the breeds that are often categorized as pit bulls. Just this week, we saw Lily the pit bull out in Massachusetts, who literally threw herself in front of a moving train to pull her owner off of the tracks. So loyalty, for sure, is something that you will see in these dogs. As far as, fighting and dangerous behavior, boxers, Boston Terriers, were also bred for those purposes. So I think what we have to keep in mind is what dogs were bred for and what they're used for in current society. German Shepherds were bred for herding. In most cases, they're now either family pets or guarding dogs. So, what is a dog bred for versus what is it used for in current society? How are we treating our pets now versus what was it doing 100 years ago?
Melissa, with New Mexico Pets Alive, can you talk a little bit about the distribution of pit bulls in shelters in Albuquerque or New Mexico, your knowledge on that?
Well, I think the accurate statistics are still a little bit uncertain. Best Friends has a great tool on their website that discusses statistics as far as what they estimate the number of pit bulls to be living in a community. But as far as the numbers that are in shelters, I've actually talked to quite a few shelters here in New Mexico and outside of the state. And what we found is that there isn't really an overpopulation of pit bulls. What happens is their length of stay is longer. So it gives the impression that there are more pit bulls coming in as far as the actual intake numbers. But I think Nina, working in Española Shelter, is probably going to be able to give you specifics on that. But that's really what we're finding out, is that the length of stay happens to be longer, so it gives the impression that the overall intake number is higher. Nina, do you have more statistics for your shelter.
I also want to jump in and say, you mentioned earlier, Nina, that pit bulls are the number two most popular dogs in New Mexico, according to Huffington
yes.
Post. But then again, you also have this situation where the dogs stay in the shelter for longer periods of time. Mm-hmm. And I've heard lots of people talk about how afraid they are of pit bulls and how they don't want to adopt a pit bull out of the shelter. So maybe add to our contextual information about how many pit bulls there are in shelters, and also this, it's like this kind of bipolar relationship that we have with pit bulls.
Yeah, absolutely. Up in Espanola, we are the only open admission shelter in the county. We receive about 4,000 animals a year, more dogs than cats. And the number one, if we're categorizing them by breed, the number one category of breed that we receive is actually Chihuahuas, which corresponds with the number of animals that are owned
number
in the state.
Number one favorite dog
yep,
in New Mexico.
Exactly. So we receive more Chihuahuas. And actually, before pit bull type dogs, we receive a couple other breeds, lab mixes, boxer mixes, heeler mixes. But I would agree with the length of stay. And I think that one of the challenges that folks deal with is this myth that it's how an animal is raised is how it will turn out as an adult. And that certainly has something to do with how an animal turns out. There's certainly a scientific formative period during which you can, you know, work with a puppy. However, just how an animal is raised is really not a reflection on how it necessarily will be as an adult. You can treat a puppy great if you then give it to somebody who leaves it outdoors, doesn't socialize it, regardless of breed, you're again looking at an unsocialized animal that's not going to make a good pet. And at our shelter, that's what we see. It's not a breed-specific issue. It's a socialization-specific issue. And we receive these dogs that have never been made to feel a part of the family. And as a result, they're very difficult to adopt. So I would say don't go into a shelter being worried about your specific breed. Go in there looking for what it is that's going to be a good fit for your family. Another recurring theme that we've unfortunately seen throughout, these dog bite related fatalities is these are animals that have often not been adopted or acquired as adults. They've been, owned as puppies. So does that mean that something went wrong somewhere? I don't know. But I will say that for the most part, your shelters in New Mexico are going to be performing standardized behavior evaluations. You should be able to go into a shelter and say, is this animal safe with children? Is it going to be good with other dogs? And the shelter should be able to tell you that. As a result, you're going to actually be able to get a better perspective as to what that dog is going to be really like than if you were going to an irresponsible breeder who is not taking as good a care of the animals as they might be receiving in a shelter.
We're talking about pit bulls in light of the two recent fatal maulings here in New Mexico in just over a week. We're going to take your calls. The number 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. Nina Stively is with the Espanola Valley Humane Society. She is the community outreach coordinator, and she's also a volunteer with the Babes and Bullies organization. It's a pit bull advocacy organization. Melissa Roberts joins us also. She is the executive director of the New Mexico Pets Alive nonprofit here in New Mexico. Let's go to Glenn in Hema Springs. Good morning, Glenn. You're on the air.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I was around a pit bull just yesterday with one of my neighbors, and this dog appeared to be a dog who had been previously abused. He cowered and kind of pulled back when I went to touch him. And I got to thinking, my experience a year ago with a rabid raccoon in my yard who I took some radical action with. And I guess I'd just like to put the warning out there, given the killings by pit bulls in New Mexico beyond us. Animals are animals. Elk and deer come into my yard, and they keep their distance. I do what I do to keep them from eating up my fruit trees. But I think a safe distance, especially with a type of animal who has a definite problem. Nature is nature. We're not animals. We're humans. And respect for nature, I guess, is what I'm learning in my old age. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn. Let's go to August in Santa Fe. Good morning, August. You're on the air. Hello, do we have August on the air? We may have lost August. Let's go to Leo in Taos. Good morning, Leo. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay, Leo. Thanks for calling in. How would you like to participate in the conversation this morning?
I'm a dog lover. I mean, I have a dog. We're, pretty much surgically attached. I love my dog. I have an Australian sheepdog. And my dog is a herder. And, you know, she knows a lot of tricks, but she herds me all the way to the bathroom. And so she inherently, you know, does this routine. And pit bulls have been trained to fight. And so their violence is inherent, is what I'm saying. And my girlfriend had a pit bull, and it attacked me and wouldn't let me go. And my friend had to literally, you know, take this dog off my hand, and I had a hole in my hand, and I'd lived with this dog for 2 years. And I'm saying that, the dogs are just, you know, they're violent inherently, and I really would like to see them just, put down. Taos, New Mexico has a program where they'll spay and neuter your dog for free if it's a pit bull. And I'm supportive of that program.
Thanks for your call, Leo. Melissa with New Mexico Pets Alive.
You had to come to me, didn't you?
Well, I wanted to ask you about part of what Leo was talking about. He was saying training, and he was also saying breeding. And I wanted to see if you could kind of tease those two aspects apart.
First of all, I'm not a canine researcher, and I'm not a canine behaviorist, just to say that up front. But I know that statistically there is no such thing as a dangerous breed of dogs. I absolutely can say that with confidence. So there are no whole entire dangerous breeds of dogs. What happened in his incident is unfortunate. I don't know the background. I wasn't there. I do know that the majority of responsible owners of any dog is going to, you know, not have those types of problems. There's so many different variables, and I'm sure your guest that's coming up in the next segment is going to be able to discuss canine behavior a lot better. But it's just not a black and white type of issue. I also, like I said, whether you use the word violent or whether you use the word dangerous, there is no such thing as an entire dangerous or violent breed of dog.
Thanks, Melissa Roberts. She is the executive director with New Mexico Pets Alive. Thanks for joining us this morning, Melissa.
Thank you for having me.
We do have another segment planned. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Donald Cleary. He is with the National Canine Research Council. This is the KUNM Collins Show. We're talking about pit bulls and how to prevent dog attacks on humans. The number to call locally is 277-5866. You can call toll-free 877-899-5866. If you get a busy signal, consider sending us an email or commenting online at KUNM.org. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We'll be right back.
Support for KUNM provided by Weekly Alibi, Albuquerque's free press and local source for news, arts, entertainment, and culture. Alibi's summer guide hits stands May 10th with New Mexico's summer activities, available citywide every Thursday.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life here with very exciting news, which is we're going to do an episode of our show on stage and beam it live to movie theaters all across the country. It includes David Rakoff, Mike Birbiglia, all kinds of stuff you can never do on the radio, like dance, animation, and more. Thursday, May 10th, one night only. Find a theater near you, go to this station's website or thisamericanlife.org.
This is the KUNM Collins Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Today, we're talking about pit bulls in light of the two recent fatal maulings here in New Mexico. Cliff Wright was mauled to death last week in Santa Fe by his son's dog. That dog was identified as a pit bull type dog. Jaslyn Mesa was a 15-month-old little girl who was mauled to death by her grandmother's dog in Las Cruces on Tuesday. Later this hour, we're going to hear from a representative from the Las Cruces Police Department. But right now, we're joined by Donald Cleary. He is with the National Canine Research Council. Good morning, Donald. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning to you, Elaine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. So you've been listening to the beginning part of the program, and we've been talking about this question of, is there a breed of dog that is more dangerous than other types of breeds of dogs? And what have you found with the NCRC research on this issue on pit bulls?
According to the available literature, which has been compiled over a period of 50 years, and I'm speaking now of reviews of literature by behaviorists and veterinarians, controlled studies of dogs, the answer to the question is no, there is no basis upon which to single out one or two or three breeds of dogs as disproportionately dangerous to human beings. In fact, the American Veterinary Medical Association just released sort of a literature review which covers this period and which can be found on the AVMA's website.
And so with that in mind, then, why do we see so many pit bulls involved in fatal maulings like the two recently here in New Mexico? In your mind, what's the explanation
for
that?
We don't actually. The first thing to understand is that. In fact, let me begin by saying that we wish to extend our deepest sympathies to the families. These are terrible, terrible tragedies, and we all grieve and are struck dumb by these kinds of things. But I feel it not unreasonable to point out that dog bite related fatalities are incredibly rare. There are about 30 in the United States in a given year, which works out to about one dog bite related fatality for every 10 million of us. To put that in a little bit of perspective, there are about 14,000 murders, which works out to one for slightly more than every 20,000 of us, and about 30,000 of us kill him or herself. So, statistically speaking, we're in far more danger from each other or from ourselves than we are from a dog. Multiple breeds of dogs are often reported in connection with these cases. Usually the fact of the matter is that a reliable identification cannot be assigned to the dog because there's no pedigree. Sometimes a narrative can get going on any number of subjects, which creates an impression which sort of forms our attitude toward a group of dogs or a group of people, whatever. And then everything that comes along, we sometimes like change the story or we modify it or understand it in a different way so that it actually confirms the narrative. And the difficulty we have, especially with things like canine-caused fatalities, is sometimes a story can receive multiple impressions in the newspaper. And the odd effect, according to psychologists, is that it creates an impression on us. Each one of these stories that we read, like a tick mark in our brain, so that the same incident, which we might read about or discuss as we're discussing it today, each time we hear about it or think about it, it registers as though it was a different event, so that they all sort of like sum up. It's not one now, it's 12 or 15 or 20, so that we have this bias, this because of this easily available recalled incident, which creates an impression that extremely rare events are much more likely to occur than they actually do.
Donald Cleary is with the National Canine Research Council. Nina Stively is with the Espanola Valley Humane Society. We're talking about pit bulls today on the KUNM Call-In Show. Let's go to Sid in Albuquerque. Good morning, Sid. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just have a comment. I have a lot of experience with pit bulls, and one of the statements by the guests earlier was that this is really a media bias, but if you look at the CDC, they have a number of reports on dog deaths and the breeds or the types of dogs that cause the most deaths, and pit bulls are at the top. I understand that pit bulls are not the only dogs that cause deaths or cause injuries. There are other breeds. But to say that it's really the owners and the way they raise them and breed them is not actually correct. That does play a role in it. But pit bulls are a very strong dog. You have to liken the analogy to like a machine gun to a handgun. Both can cause harm. Both can cause injury. But when one goes off, it can cause significantly more harm than the other. And that's how pit bulls are. They're unpredictable. You don't hear a lot about golden retrievers mauling people. You don't hear a lot about Australian sheepdogs mauling people to death. You hear about pit bulls doing it, and it's because they're capable of doing it. They're very strong and bred that way. So that's my comment.
Donald?
Well, first of all, your statements about the nature of the dogs are not supported by anything in the refereed literature. The second thing is that it's pretty well understood, and it was understood at the time that the CDC did the work, that that the likelihood was that they were going to unearth reports that dealt with dogs which were already prominent in people's imagination because those were the dogs that were going to be covered more frequently. The third thing you need to know about what the CDC did was that they didn't actually look at any dogs. They only, when they developed that paper, all they did was consult newspaper stories, and if the story had a breed identification, and then they covered it, and then if it did not, then they passed it by. So that, in fact, when they looked at canine-caused fatalities for the period in question, they only reported on about 70% of the incidents. And if you read the paper, you'll see that they don't necessarily stand by the breed identifications that they obtained.
Nina, have you seen this same effect in media coverage? Does the media focus more on attacks by pit bulls than other types of dogs?
Absolutely. Did you know last week that a little boy was killed by a golden retriever?
Where?
In England. And it made national news for about 5 minutes. It was on the cover of CNN, and then all of a sudden the pit bull news got, you know, probably 7 to 20 times the coverage. And that's pretty consistent. You'll see that. And I understand that it doesn't get the same exposure, but the reality is that it does happen. You know, two children, tragically, were attacked and killed by dogs in Colorado a few years ago, within a week of each other. One child was attacked and killed by a family dog that was identified as a pit bull type dog. One child was attacked and killed by an Alaskan Malamute. The Alaskan Malamute article received literally 1/15 of the coverage that the pit bull related article was getting. You just see it over and over, is that the dogs are not inherently dangerous. I would treat a 50-pound pit bull the same way I would treat a 50-pound husky, a 50-pound lab. I feel that a dog, you know, certainly a larger dog could potentially inflict more damage. We laugh about, oh, you know, chihuahuas are little nippers and they bite. Sure, a chihuahua bites, and, you know, no one's going to minimize the, you know, the trauma that a bite of any dog is going to inflict. But I do not feel that the danger of a pit bull type dog is any greater than that of any dog of a comparable size.
Let's take another call. Jan in Mountain Air. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have two pit bull mixes, and they're sweet. I love them. And what I see around this town, and some in Albuquerque, is that people put their dogs on an 8-foot chain thinking that they're going to be a guard dog. They don't pay attention to the dog. They might throw food at it. They rarely have enough water for it. And the dog is living a depressed life. It's awful. And I saw young men in Albuquerque walking pit bull puppies, not tiny puppies, but they were not full-grown dogs, with logging chains as collars. And I stop and I think, okay, how would you feel if someone did that to you? And what kind of person would you be if someone treated you that way? Also, I'm really glad to hear the comments about the media coverage, because I think that's quite true, is that pit bulls get a bigger and badder rap than other dogs who do equal damage. I really think it's the owners. I think it's how the dogs are treated. I don't think it's the breed. And thank you for doing this show.
Donald, I want to go back to you on what Jan has said about the way that animals are treated and the influence on their behavior. Can you respond to that?
Well, I think that what we have to understand is that we are responsible for the dogs in our midst. The domestic dog and all of the animals that we're talking about are domestic dogs. We are their natural habitat. Dogs are not found absent the context of human society, whether it's living in the vicinity of a village or doing work or living in the house or in the yard or running down the street or wherever. And we are responsible for them. Dogs are probably, according to scientists, genetically predisposed to form attachments with human beings. This is general across the species, not specific to one kind or another. So that tells us that we sort of have an obligation here. On the one hand, it's a fantastically successful species. There may be as many as 700 million dogs in the world, according to some estimates. There's approximately 75 to 80 million in the United States, which is a dog for every four of us. If we wish to live more companionably with dogs, and if we are really serious about addressing the incidents involving dogs, we have to expect more from the people who keep and own them. We have to insist upon responsible pet ownership of all owners of all dogs, irrespective. We have to establish standards in our communities which set out how we expect owners to keep their dogs and how we expect them to control their dogs when they're in the community with the rest of us. We have to codify those expectations. We have to help people understand why it's a good idea that they do it. We have to facilitate their compliance with these regulations, and when necessary, we have to enforce it when they don't.
We've received quite a few comments in a similar vein, Donald, on our website, with folks saying that pit bulls do what their owners train them to do. But I know in my heart that the owners of these particular pit bulls who killed family members in the past week didn't intend for their pit bulls to kill their family members. So there's a disconnect that I'm feeling between this: people, you know, tell their dogs what to do and dogs just do what people want them to do. And then when we have aggression towards humans, when dogs attack humans.
I don't propose to explain those two incidents. I mean, I have other than offer my sympathy, I have nothing to say. I can only point out to you, Elaine, that you're making a generalization on the basis of two incidents out of a dog population of 78 million.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Donald. Donald Cleary is with the National Canine Research Council. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about pit bulls and how to keep dogs from attacking humans, and whether there are more dangerous dogs or less dangerous dogs as far as breeds are concerned. Let's go to your calls. Jenny in Peralta. Good morning, Jenny. You're on the air.
Good morning. I take great objection to all this talk about it being the owners. I had a lab pit bull cross for 10 years and invested over $5,000 in leg surgeries, and that dog went everywhere with me. Was a family dog, but he exhibited 3 random and unprovoked acts of violence over time. And when my son was born, I made the very hard decision to put him down, because I felt like I would be one of those people who hear that their dog randomly mauls their child. And there was absolutely no reason for these issues. He did bite people. He bit one on a leash. He bit one off a leash. And he charged and grabbed a person's hand on a walk completely unprovoked. And this dog was raised with my other dog. Loving home. They went everywhere with me. I absolutely loved Gus, but he was a pit bull cross, and there was no explanation for these acts, and I absolutely believe that it's in the breed. And while sad, I can't believe how relieved I was after I put him down, because there was always this niggle in my mind, is he going to do something weird? And I will never have another pit bull or pit bull cross, because that dog grew up with love and the best medical care and the best family, and still he did these things, and I felt like I could not rehome him, so I chose to put him down when I had my son.
Thanks for sharing your story this morning, Jenny.
Okay, thank you.
Nina, what about this? Sometimes there's behavior that's totally unpredictable that folks can't really trace to the type of situation that has been described, where dogs are not cared for or chained in the front yard or treated like not a member of the family, as opposed to this particular dog that as Jenny said, was a very, very dear member of her family and treated as such. This idea of unpredictability, pit bulls as being unpredictable and demonstrating, attacking with no previous indication that they would behave that way.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things that, you know, I'm very sorry, Jenny, that you ultimately had that struggle with your dog. I think that what we need to, you know, keep in mind is that dogs are still animals, regardless of what breed they are. A dog is still an animal, and we can tell it to do 100 things, and it might do 90 of them, or it might do 5 of them. But no animal is 100% predictable. You know, you look at animals that are service dogs, and these are dogs that are bred for a certain purpose. A tiny percentage of those animals that are going through a service dog training actually make it through to become service dogs. And that the same would apply for a pit bull type dog, that even if somebody is looking for a certain purpose in these dogs, a tiny percentage of them are actually going to fit that aggressive mentality that people think that they're going to fall into. Again, I'm very sorry that this particular experience happened, but this is a lab pit bull mix, and I understand that she's leaning more towards the pit bull being the problem, but I can't say what the heritage was of this dog. I can't say what the issue was, but I can say that, in my professional experience dealing with 4,000 animals a year, I do not see pit bulls as being any more unpredictable. I feel that as a breed, they show as the same, physiological characteristics as others. There's not, there's this myth of them having locking jaws and flash tempers and certain types of aggression. I don't feel that any of that is accurate. And the American Temperament Test Society would support that. That's a non-breed specific behavior and temperament-based test that actually pit bull type dogs score higher than dachshunds and retrievers and a lot of other types of dogs out there. So these are dogs that that are the majority. These are who are filling most of the homes. And I understand that there's always going to be the exceptions. And those exceptions are tragic regardless of what the breed is. And if we weren't talking about pit bulls and pit bulls didn't exist, we'd be talking about St. Bernards. We'd be talking about Great Danes. We'd be talking about Rottweilers. There's always going to be a breed that is going to be maligned. And I don't want that to be the case. I think that there's a lot of ways to prevent dog bites, but I don't think any of that will ever be breed-specific laws or regulations or expectations.
So breed-specific legislation, it's also known as BSL. There's there's Facebook pages banned BSL in New Mexico, this kind of thing. Is something that there have been pieces of legislation proposed by lawmakers in New Mexico, including Senator Sue Wilson Beffert. I did contact her to join us on the show today. I did not hear back from her, but a couple years ago, I did an interview with her on this very topic related to legislation that she had introduced in the state legislature to add some requirements for folks to who are owning pit bulls. And I interviewed her about what her concerns were about pit bulls. And I'd like to play an excerpt of that interview. This is Senator Sue Wilson Beffert in an interview from 2007 that I did with her talking about pit bulls.
Well, originally, I brought the bill about because of the continued attacks on our little toddlers, and it appeared that no group was taking any responsibility in terms of the fact that it appeared to be an out-of-control breed that was possibly owned by people that should not be owning potentially dangerous dogs, and that somebody had to take control. And so when I saw that the last little girl that had been brutally mauled, that no group came forward, I thought, as a legislator, then it probably needs to be done at a state level. The first problem was how that particular breed of dog was brought into existence many years ago, back in the 1800s, brought about to kill bulls. Then, of course, dog fighting became a sport, like bullfighting and other types of barbaric sports. And the problem is that that's how the breed originated. So I fear that even in legitimate thoroughbred dogs that there is this streak of potentially very dangerous viciousness, possibly unpredictably. That being said, I know that when dogs are raised kindly and with loving families, that for the most part, they're safe. We continue to see time after time after time where it is this dog that is unpredictable. And I will stick by my statement that I hope that the families that adopt these animals from the pound, where you have no idea how they were bred or what their former conditions were, do not have young children.
That was Senator Sue Wilson Beffert of Albuquerque in an interview that I did with her in 2007. She has been involved in introducing legislation to restrict pit bull ownership in New Mexico and to add additional requirements for ownership of dangerous dogs. We're joined now by Dan Trujillo. He is with the Las Cruces Police Department. Just this week, a 15-month-old girl was mauled and killed by her family's dog. It was identified as a pit bull dog. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Elaine.
After hearing that clip from Senator Sue Wilson Beffert, what is your take on whether breed-specific legislation might help limit or eliminate these kinds of fatal maulings?
Officially, I really cannot speak on that matter. But personally, let me say that I do not think any type of breed-specific legislation would necessarily help. There are dangers in any large breed dog, and any large breed dog that does not have proper training, that is not treated right by its family, that is not raised in a manner to where it is family friendly.
And in your experience down in Las Cruces, have you seen this popularity of pit bulls? I'm assuming it's similar down in Las Cruces as it is up here in central and northern New Mexico, where pit bulls are very popular and also people are kind of afraid of them.
Yeah, you know, obviously we see that a lot where there are many pit bulls owned by people here. There have been, I'm sure, several reports of pit bulls biting people. We've never had an instance like the one we had a couple days ago, as far as I know, as far as I remember. And that's very unfortunate. You're talking about breed-specific legislation, and, you know, the only city I know of in New Mexico that has that is Elephant Butte, where I think it was 2 years ago or so they enacted some type of law specifically for pit bulls.
And is that a law that prohibits pit bull ownership there?
You know, I'm not sure if it actually prohibits it or if it requires that the owners insure their dogs.
Mm-hmm. Do you have comments for folks who, from your perspective in law enforcement, as a public information officer, what does the Las Cruces Police Department say to folks about owning dogs and taking care of dogs? What is the kind of standard recommendation for folks to make sure that they're safe?
Yeah, you know what? All dogs, small dogs, large dogs, cats, any pets, really need to be treated as pets and not just as a dog. We would hope that people would not keep dogs chained up or kept in a kennel all day. We would hope that pet owners would have a nice big backyard where the dog can roam freely, where the dog is taken to classes and really becomes part of the family. You know, I'm an owner of two dogs myself, and I have a large and a small. And, you know, both dogs have received some training. Both dogs are part of my family. They are my family. But in that same context, I would not leave those dogs alone with a small child. And I'm not saying that's what happened 2 days ago here in Cruces, but there's a propensity and ability of a large breed dog especially to overpower a child or an adult and cause serious injury. And if that dog is not treated fairly, or if that dog becomes jealous of how others, including people, are treated, there is a propensity for that dog to attack.
Thank you, Dan Trujillo. He is with the Las Cruces Police Department. If you've got a few more minutes, Dan, I'd love if you could hang on the line. I understand if you need to go. I know that
I can hang on here.
Super. Just in case, I've got a few calls, and I want to see if we've got some questions for you. Let's go to Carol in Albuquerque. Good morning, Carol. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having this show. At one time years ago, I went to the library and read everything that they had on pit bulls, and what I gained then is, of course, my opinion. I think that they are different in the way that their grip is different, that sometimes it takes several men to get a pit bull off of someone because their grip is so strong. And we hear, yes, there might be more bites from a German Shepherd or some other type of dog in a year, but those dogs bite and then they run and then they get out of there. A pit bull doesn't just bite and then go. He hangs on, and it's very different from what I read. And they sometimes stay and kill, and sometimes they even eat some of their owners. And what I've heard is, and what I've read, there was only one positive article in all of this foot-high stack of papers I read. And what was different was that they would turn on their owners after many docile years. They might have been living in a friendly way for 10 years with this person, and that's a person that they'll turn on. And in the articles that I've read since then and in the articles there, it was so often the family people that got hurt.
Yeah. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call, Carol. I'm gonna move on for a few more folks. Thanks for your call this morning. Let's go to Leslie in Santa Fe. Good morning, Leslie. You're on the air.
Good morning. And I just wanted to address the question that you first proposed, is the problem pit bulls. And no, I think the problem is the general lack of understanding of what it takes to raise a healthy, happy, well-adjusted dog of any breed. And that is a great deal of socialization and positive reinforcement training, reasonable and consistent boundaries, that sort of thing. And I think there needs to be an awareness that dogs are social animals, and pit bulls in particular are so people-centric and typically thrive on affection. So it's extra important that they're treated as part of the family. And, that's really advice for all dogs. So I feel like our resources should be focused on education about what it is to really create a home for your dog that is happy and healthy and fosters a good relationship with others in the community.
Thanks, Leslie. Let's go to Wanda in Albuquerque. Good morning, Wanda. You're on the air.
Hi. To reinforce what the woman was saying about the pit bulls not letting go, it wasn't too long ago that a gal was riding a horse near Los Lunas. I think it was near the mansion. Anyway, this pit bull came out of nowhere, jumped up, grabbed the horse's neck. This was in the newspapers and everything, actually brought the horse down. They could not get that thing off. Neighbors had to go and get guns and shoot the thing. And then out at Placidas, it's not just people getting injured. This pit bull or pit bulls got loose, and they brought down and killed these alpacas that the man was raising. And these were very valuable, a couple thousand each. And I'm wondering whether if a person has liability insurance, if it's impacted by owning pit bulls. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you much.
Thanks, Wanda. Dan Trujillo, are you familiar with any of the liability issues with respect to pit bulls?
The only familiarity I have with that is that when I was first a homeowner, I thought it was pretty neat to brag to my insurance agent that, I have a golden retriever that has a big bark. And I remember that the insurance agent said, you know what, that's not necessarily good when you have a big dog, because sure, they may be good at scaring away people who may want to break into your home or alerting you to what's going on in the neighborhood, but they do have the propensity to attack. I would never imagine my golden retriever biting anybody, and it never has. But again, it's a large breed dog. If it wanted to, it could.
Thanks, Dan Trujillo. Nina, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that, one of the things we're looking at, the first thing I would want to ask that caller is, why on earth were those dogs loose? And I'm so sorry for the loss of that livestock and the bites on the horse and those unfortunate incidents. But that right there is just defining poor ownership. There is absolutely no reason for a dog, much less a pack of dogs, to be loose around livestock that is not, that is not their own animals. So I'm really sorry that that's happened. And right there, that shows that animals, dogs of any kind, of any breed, should not be left unattended, because livestock is fun to chase and fun to chase down if you're a dog. So I think what it comes down to, though, is insurance is often affected for people with pit bull type dogs, with other large breed dogs, German Shepherds, Elephant Butte. Their restrictions are specifically on people that own Rottweilers, German Shepherds, or pit bull types. Breed specific legislation and insurance requirements and spay neuter requirements that are specific to a breed simply don't work, unfortunately, in terms of preventing bites or attacks. I want to do whatever it is that's going to make this community safer, but breed-specific legislation has been proven. In Miami-Dade County, they have had a ban on pit bulls for 23 years. It costs them $3 million a year to enforce this ban. City officials still estimate there being 50,000 pit bulls in the county of Miami-Dade. You're not looking at a reduction in bites. Responsible ownership is where we should be focusing our efforts.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're going to take a quick break and then come back for some closing comments from our guests. We're talking about pit bulls in light of the recent fatal maulings here in New Mexico, and we'll be right back.
Western National Parks Association presents the Hubble Trading Post Navajo Rug Show at Petroglyph National Monument this Saturday from 10 to 3 at the Las Imágenes Visitor Center, with informative rug talks and a large selection of weavings and jewelry from the oldest continuously operating trading post on the Navajo Nation. That's this Saturday, 10 to 3. Information available at 899-0205 or WNPA.org. A message from the tax-exempt Western National Parks Association.
This is the KUNM call-in show. We're talking about pit bulls and whether there is a dangerous breed of dogs. Nina Stively is here. She is with the Espanola Valley Humane Society. She's the community outreach coordinator and also a volunteer with the Babes and Bullies Pit Bull Advocacy Organization. I believe we still have Dan Trujillo on the line from the Las Cruces Police Department. We were joined earlier in the hour by Melissa Roberts with New Mexico Pets Alive and Donald Cleary with the National Canine Research Council. If you'd like to listen to this program and you missed part of it, just shortly after the show is over, we'll be posting the audio online at KUNM.org. We have Rob Rauchy on the line. He is with Animal Humane New Mexico. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for having me on the show. I want to say thank you to Officer Trujillo. I appreciate the work that you do down in Las Cruces, Officer Trujillo. I know it's got to be tough down there. Also, Nina, thank you for your insight with regard to breed-specific legislation. We at Animal Humane also do not agree with breed-specific legislation. There's just no way that that type of legislation would work. We have pit bulls and we have pit bull mixes. The challenge is, for me, is the word pit bull, that generic term which actually refers to three breeds of dogs, American Staffordshire Terrier, Staffordshire Terrier, and I think pit bull terrier. I don't know if that was the correct last.
The American Pit Bull Terrier is the
right
one, right?
And unfortunately, when you hear the word pit bull, boom, already you're thinking, oh, my God, it's a terrible thing. But look at pit bulls, and this just happens to be the dog of the day that wants to be vilified. Before that, it was Rottweilers. Before that, it was Dobermans. We seem to latch on to these things, and all of a sudden they become these criminal dogs. The key is, and I'm just going to reiterate what was said before, socialization and training. Dogs are social animals. It's gone back hundreds and thousands of years to the Egyptians and beyond. They want to be part of the family. It's important that these dogs are socialized properly, brought into the family, not put on chains. I live in Valencia County. I see dozens of dogs on chains, and not just pit bulls. So, I mean, how do you think those dogs are going to respond when somebody comes up to a house? They're going to bark, they're going to growl, they're going to lunge because they're on the chain. It's important that these animals are brought inside and treated as part of the family. That's the key. And another thing I'm going to talk about, a few years ago in France, do you remember the woman who passed out or had a drug overdose or something, and her Labrador retriever ripped her face off? That was a Labrador retriever trying to wake up its owner because she had gone into a drug overdose or a drug coma. We cannot continue to vilify the pit bull. Okay, we need to educate the public. That's key, and we need to socialize the animals. At Animal Humane, we've created a program called 505 Pit Crew. That's aimed at educating school-aged children and young adults to address the horrors of illegal dogfighting. Do you know that most kids or kids are exposed to dogfighting by the age of 9? What kind of impression does that make? And then you talk about the link between human violence and animal abuse. You look at any serial killer that has, murdered people, and you'll find a link back to that killer abusing animals in its youth.
Hey, Rob.
So, yes.
We're running up against
okay.
the end of the show. Thanks for calling in this morning. Rob Rauchy is with Animal Humane New Mexico. Nina Stively with the Espanola Valley Humane Society, your last thoughts this morning?
Yeah, my last thoughts would just be that, I want to just reiterate that history in the U.S. shows that breed-specific legislation does not work. It is not effective in reducing dog bites. It is not effective in reducing the numbers of a certain specific breed within a community. It is breed-specific legislation does not make our communities safer. What makes communities safer is, enforcement of existing dangerous dog laws that are not breed specific. If pit bulls are gone, something else is going to fill that place. So we need to protect our community and have dangerous dog laws that are not breed specific.
Dan Trujillo from the Las Cruces Police Department, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
And also Nina Stively with the Espanola Valley Humane Society and the Babes and Bullies Pitbull Advocacy Organization. Again, if you missed part of the show and you'd like to hear it, you can visit us online at KUNM.org. We'll be posting the audio shortly. Engineering today by Roman Garcia. Andy Lyman was screening your calls today. He is our news intern. And Michael Hess assisted with production of the show today. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll be back with the KUNM Call-In Show next Thursday morning at 8 here on KUNM.